I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Tuesday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. It's a celebratory Tuesday around here. Not only is it a trash Tuesday where you can take out the trash. Who or what do you want to trash? We'll read those here on the show. So simply tweet at me, DA on CBS. Also, the latest in Lakerland. Now they have their head coach with Frank Vogel, who have their next head coach on the roster as well with Jason Kidd. And rumors swirling that perhaps there could be trade talks surrounding LeBron James this summer. What happens next with the Lakers? And is it an impending disaster? We've got Arash Markazi who will join us, senior columnist for the LA Times. He'll drop on by here coming up in about 17 minutes from now. It's also celebratory because we are celebrating Mraz's birthday today. Indeed, Mraz has celebrated his birthday, and we have brought in all of his favorite people, including one huge freeze, who is right now sitting only about a foot and a half away from me, enjoying Mraz's favorite dessert ever, a Fudgy the Whale cake. Fudgy the Whale from Carvel is an ice cream cake surrounded by chocolate chip cookies or cookie crumbles, topped with whipped cream and hot fudge. And it truly is the most delicious birthday cake I've ever had. And it said, past tense, happy birthday, Sean, on the whale. We're now through about 7/8 of it. There's about 1/8 left that Huge Freeze is going to take down in this segment. And he is constantly on camera all show, even aside from, well, during the show as I go through my proceedings. He's on camera just eating cake on Cake Cam. So you can watch that at watchda.com. Let me ask the one and only Pete the Body Bellotti, did you think we would get through the entire Fudge of the Whale cake within approximately 55 minutes?
I thought it'd take a little more time. I thought we would have to get to the epic fail, and then the cake would have been done. But this is an impressive feat by one Huge Freeze and everybody else, really.
Yeah, we all did our part here, but Huge has taken down more of it than anybody else. Huge, I would say, has eaten 4 slices, 5, up. You're on your 6th? Is that currently the 6th? Okay, so right now.
He's a man to his word.
That's
word
right.
Too. Sticking
That's right.
To it.
Huge Freeze is on his 6th slice of Fudgy the Whale birthday cake.
Before noon, too. Eastern.
And he's starting to feel it, breathe a little heavy. There's some gasps for air. Yeah. A few sweat beads coming down off of the forehead.
What do you think happens in Hawaii when Mraz is running from a volcano when he hears about this stuff?
From the window to the wall! Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba!
So Odell Beckham is not committing to the Cleveland Browns for all of OTAs. And the Cleveland Browns say that's okay. The Cleveland Browns will have their May OTAs, organized team activities, which I always love the sound of. It sounds like all the NFL players get together and start tracing their hands for turkeys and start making macaroni necklaces. Organized team activities. That's nice. We're going to have canoe races as well at organized team activities. Wonderful. So Odell Beckham, now part of the Cleveland Browns, is participating, but is not committing to every OTA. In fact, some are just hoping that he comes to one per week. It's 10 practices over the next 3 weeks of 7-on-7s, 9-on-7s, and 11-on-11s, no pads nor contact. This from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. Quote, it remains to be seen how many of the 10 OTA sessions Odell will attend, but the Browns would be likely happy if he's involved at least once a week. There are three practices this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The only media session open for the week is on Wednesday. Last year, Odell attended Pat Shurmur's extra voluntary minicamp, extra voluntary even, in New York, and about 7 of the 10 voluntary OTAs. Now, how does his coach feel? Freddie Kitchens, quote, there's no problem with Odell not being here. I'd rather him be here. He's not here. It's voluntary. That's what the word voluntary means. He can decide to come or he can't. But under no circumstance am I going to say that I'm PO'd at Odell for not being here. He'll be ready to play, and ultimately that's the only thing that I want. Him getting ready to play when we kick off in September, and he will be, I promise you. John Dorsey also echoed those sentiments. Dorsey, the GM, saying, quote, where I stand is that I think any time that you have as an organization, a first-year coaching staff, and you are installing a new offense, it's good to be here. But let's remember, the CBA created this to where it is a voluntary situation. I think he's an experienced enough player that he will understand what he has to do to put himself in the best position and put this team in the best position. End of quote. So should Odell Beckham be there? Well, if you were following me on social media over the weekend, you saw me and Odell get into a little bit of a social media tiff.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
I had merely quoted the women from Pizza and Chill podcast. They joined us last week, and they had brought up that they knew somebody at the Met Gala who said that Odell was embarrassed that he was wearing that crazy kilt outfit. He was wearing a suit jacket with the sleeves ripped off and a kilt. Now, I'm no fashion maven. I'm no clothes horse. I let the Bourbon Bell tell me when I look good and when I look bad. I'm not here to proclaim that I know how to be dressing like Odell Beckham, George Clooney, or anybody in between. I simply stated what they said, that Odell was embarrassed about his kilt. And I find this to be quite interesting, because Odell Beckham is always so confident about everything that he does, and his public perception and what his reputation is, and that he's the height of cool and the height of fashionable and the height of everything, that my goodness, how interesting would it be if Odell Beckham had been given this outfit by some designer and was actually embarrassed to be wearing it?
I liked it, but I heard rumors. Well, I knew people that were there, and they said that he was, like, so uncomfortable.
Like, physically uncomfortable?
Yeah, just like, what am I doing? Why am I wearing a skirt?
Somebody dressed him up in that, and he didn't...
Yeah, I think maybe he went out the door feeling confident and then got there and was like, what the hell?
Yeah, what is that?
To be honest,
break this down, what Odell Beckham was wearing at the Met Gala.
I was expecting this to look a lot worse, but to me it just looks like he's wearing like some baggy basketball shorts. It doesn't look as bad as I thought it was.
But it's kind of a skirt.
It is a skirt. It's definitely a skirt.
It's a skirt. And then what do you think about a suit jacket and the shirt with the sleeves torn off of the shoulder?
I don't mind that part.
I think this got the job done. He obviously wanted attention for wearing a skirt, and he got it. So, like, that's what he was looking for, and there you go.
It's like totally Jaden Smith, you know?
Yeah.
He goes around wearing skirts.
Good point.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah,
long was
2019.
Wear whatever you want.
There you go. Hey.
Wear what you want.
Lisa Ramos and Camille Fischel, who were joining us last week from the podcast Pizza and Chill, friends of the DA show. So that was their take. I simply said, wow, can you believe this? And Odell, of course, had to slam me on social media. Odell took to Twitter to say, boy, you way off. Not one, not two, but three crying emoji faces. Other way around. Didn't want to wear it at first. Then no chance, I wasn't going to wear it. My confidence way too high. Now you know that the DA show has Twitter beefs with Jack Kay from 227 and Sister fame and Odell Beckham, not over his football, but over whether he enjoyed wearing the kilt to the Met Gala. My confidence way too high. This is the type of show you have entrusted your days to. This is the type of career I've developed. I'm sure my parents and my broadcast school and journalism degree very, very proud. I said, I'm not here to judge whether Odell Beckham likes to be in that kilt or not. I'm interested in the fact that a designer gave him some clothing and he said, this sucks. Why am I wearing it? But apparently I was wrong. And apparently the girls were wrong because Odell's confidence way too high.
Wait.
And I just think this is all intertwined. Odell Beckham is a wonderful football player, but Odell Beckham's commitment to his image is all over the place. It's like on the one hand, he cares that I suggested that he wasn't comfortable in a kilt. On the other hand, he's comfortable not attending OTAs. So he's got a brand new team with a brand new first-year head coach and a brand new quarterback and a brand new city. All of that is brand new. And he is being asked to maybe be there once a week at a 10 of these. So maybe show up to 3 of the 10. We'd be thrilled. And the head coach is going, look, it'd be better if he was here. And the GM is saying, well, look, he's got to learn a new offense. But, hey, we understand it's voluntary. It's voluntary. Did we mention it's voluntary? I know the CBA says it's voluntary. Voluntary means voluntary. Did we mention voluntary is voluntary? That organization wants him around. That quarterback wants him around. The GM and the head coach want him around. But for him, maybe he shows up once a week. So the perception of whether or not he's totally committed, not that big a deal to Odell. But dare I question whether he liked to wear a kilt? Whoa, boy, my confidence way too high.
Wade.
And this is ultimately what makes it so difficult to truly love Odell Beckham as a football player. His skill set is extraordinary. He is one of the greatest athletes ever to play wide receiver. He's not one of the greatest wide receivers yet, but one of the greatest athletes to play that position. His ability to make something out of nothing, his superstardom, his highlight reel ability, all of that is breathtaking. But Odell Beckham is so caught in his own snow globe, and that snow globe, unfortunately for Odell, is oftentimes the public perception of cool, less the public perception of football. The football part, he feels like he's got on lock. So don't bother me with being around the facility. I might sign a new deal, but you know what? I might immediately hate on the quarterback. I might say I want to be in New York, but then also a couple months later say I don't want to be in New York. Don't bother me with the football. But everything else is so important to Odell. And that's what makes it so difficult, because you know if he would just channel all of the desire that he has in being cool into being the greatest football player he could, if all of the energy he spends on being cool, he devoted like Jerry Rice to the craft, the guy would be ridiculously unstoppable. But he just wastes far too much energy on non-football stuff. And brand new coach for him, first-year head coach, brand new organization, brand new offense, brand new quarterback. And they'll be lucky to get him out of 10 OTAs to 3 of them. Okay. When we come back, the latest on the Lakers disaster with Arash Markazi, senior columnist, LA Times, DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Hear the 12 DAs of Christmas as they happen.
Cyberbull.
No, it's not cyber at all. We're doing it directly to your face.
But in front of computers.
So the computers are an audience of the teasing. It's now cyberbullying.
Yeah. Doing it around technology. So stupid.
The DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
22 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Remember, there are so many ways you can listen to the show across the great CBS Sports Radio Network and our affiliates in both the U.S. and Canada. Also on SiriusXM, Channel 206. And you can listen to us using Apple Music, Radio.com, or the CBS Sports app. You can also watch us at WatchDA.com. As we have Cake Cam going on this morning, and the show is rolling along, our good friend Huge Freeze, complete with a birthday hat for Mraz's birthday, is finishing up that Fudge of the Whale Carvel cake in studio with factoids and a bottom line running a scroll underneath. The Fudge of the Whale is just about done. Joining us here on the show as we discuss the latest chapter in the Los Angeles Lakers saga, sports columnist for the LA Times, Arash Markazi. Arash, good morning. How you doing?
I'm good.
I appreciate you being with us. And the Frank Vogel situation has got everybody talking. Do you think this is already set up for failure since Jason Kidd is on the bench?
Yeah, I didn't understand bringing in Jason Kidd. I mean, if you really liked Jason Kidd so much, it seemed like they were intent on having the next coach, whoever it was, having Jason Kidd on the staff. Just hire Jason Kidd, because at this point they have no prior working relationship, and the common perception is that Jason Kidd will take over as the coach at some point. So, you know, you're really putting Frank Vogel in a tough situation. I mean, if you want him to gain the respect of the team and for most people to believe that he is the head coach, why bring in Jason Kidd, who clearly wanted that job?
So why do you think they did do this? Do you think there's too many cooks in the kitchen pulling in different directions in that front office?
Yeah, but I also think that they genuinely liked Jason Kidd but didn't think he was ready at this time to be the head coach again. They haven't talked, you know, they haven't had any press conferences, or we're not going to have some of these answers until Monday, but this part of it made no sense, because you're not just bringing in some young assistant coach. You're bringing in someone who has been a head coach for two different teams and who clearly wanted this job. So to bring him on as an assistant, again, the closest example is the whole David Blatt, Ty Lue situation in Cleveland, where Ty Lue wanted that job, didn't get it, but was hired as the associate head coach. And then within a year or so, he took over.
Yeah, Arash Markazi joins us from the LA Times. Kurt Rambis has been called kind of a shadow puppeteer behind the scenes, and his wife of the Los Angeles Lakers. How much of that is accurate?
Well, they are very tight with Jeannie Buss. Linda Rambis is her best friend. Kurt Rambis, her husband, obviously she's known for the majority of her life. So they are very close with her, you know, to say that they are dictating what Jeannie is doing, I'm not sure it's fair. But again, these kind of things happen when you don't address them. And so, again, we haven't talked to Jeannie Buss or Kurt Rambis or Rob Pelinka or whoever. We, I mean, they have not talked since the season completed a month ago. So, again, hopefully next week on Monday we have the coaches' press conference. I'm assuming Rob Pelinka will be there. Hopefully Jeannie will address the media at some point then as well, because, again, nobody knows the answers to these questions but them.
Is Rob Pelinka part of the problem?
Well, Rob's problem is he's never had this job before. I mean, he went from being an agent to being a GM, and he's never been a GM before. So, you know, I think anyone who's a first-time GM is going to have some growing pains. The issue here, from my perspective, is Jeannie not bringing on an experienced president of basketball operations to work with Rob. You know, if she really does like Rob, and if she really does believes Rob can do this job, you would never hire a coach who's never coached before. Why would you hire a GM who's never been a GM before, or at least an assistant GM before? So he's part of the problem in the sense that he's doing a job he's never done before.
Arash Markazi joins us from the Los Angeles Times. We were discussing earlier in the show this idea that a couple of rival executives had that the Sixers would be looking to trade for LeBron James. Do you think that there's any way the Lakers would be open to listening to offers for him?
No, I think there's a 0% chance that LeBron wants to go to Philadelphia and a 0% chance the Lakers would trade him there.
And why is that?
Well, he really decided to come to Los Angeles to retire. He did not come to this team, which has missed the playoffs six consecutive years, to chase a ring. He came here to retire here, to live here, to spend the rest of his career here. Again, he has two homes here, his production company, media company, whatnot, is all here. The Lakers, say what you want about Jeannie Buss, but she wants that star quality, that star player. They missed that when Kobe retired, so they got the arguably best player in the league, if not the best player, the most marketable player. So they're not going to try to trade him now, to the Sixers. I do believe when you're talking about building a possible championship-contending team, and again, it is so important to realize that this is a three-year plan that they have. It's a three-year plan because they have LeBron James under contract for those years. They are going to try to put together a championship team within that time frame. Now, who knows if they can, but that is their goal right now. So trading LeBron James is not even a part of their thinking process, and LeBron James is not trying to chase one more ring in Philadelphia or Toronto or someplace else.
Do you think it's realistic that the Lakers could acquire Anthony Davis this offseason?
You know, tonight's a big moment for them. I mean, obviously, if they get that number one pick, I think that trade is a lot simpler for them. If they get even a top three or four pick, I think that's a trade that you can go back to New Orleans with a nice new piece you didn't have before. But, you know, that trade that they had on the table at the trade deadline is still there to be had. You know, it's that Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, and a couple of draft picks. I mean, that is depending on how you think about those players, I mean, that's a pretty formidable trade. And again, if they can somehow get certainly the number one pick, but obviously a top three pick, puts them in a position where that is a trade David Griffin may look to actually make.
So I know a lot has been, it's always asked whether LeBron regrets going to Los Angeles, and I don't think we have any sense of that at this point in time. I wonder, though, could he regret going there and we not know it?
Yeah, listen, I think it's totally possible that he could regret it internally, but I mean, listen, there's no way he's going to say that publicly while he's still with the team. That makes no sense for him. But, you know, listen, once he retires and they do a documentary on him, I think he'll finally kind of open up. I mean, I'm sure he's not happy about, you know, Ty Lue, that situation. I mean, he didn't get the contract that he thought he was going to get, so I'm sure he's not happy for his friend. And listen, there's been some moves made along the way that I think he's questioning if this was the right team at the right time. But as I said before, he wanted to come to Los Angeles, and I don't think this was a ring-chasing thing. I don't think he had any illusions of grandeur that this was going to be a championship team that first season. I do believe he probably thought they would be in a position to attract two big names this summer, and if they don't, and they're pretty much the same team as last year, I think then at that point he wonders, man, like, what have I done?
Finally, how serious should we take the Los Angeles Clippers lurking in the weeds for all of the Tier A free agents this summer?
Well, it's huge. You know, I mean, if you want to come to Los Angeles, that has, interestingly enough, I guess, is now the signature team to come to. I mean, imagine walking into a meeting and you have Jerry West, Steve Ballmer, Doc Rivers in two max slots. So, you know, this isn't so much just about one player. I mean, if you're close, again, people are talking about Kyrie and KD going to New York, something that's intriguing about that is you can kind of join up with a friend or a someone that you wanted to team up with. The Clippers have that, you know, and so they can go to Kawhi and say, you know, who do you want to team up with, whether that's Kawhi and Jimmy Butler, for example. I mean, like, they can make these things happen. And as opposed to the Lakers, you know, where you're not sure who's running the show or what's happening over there, it is so clear with the Clippers that Steve Ballmer, Jerry West, Doc Rivers, and that seems to be the team that if you're a player and want to live and play in Los Angeles, that's the team.
Arash Markazi. You can follow him on Twitter at that name, at Arash Markazi. Sports columnist to the LA Times. A really good follow if you're following this craziness with the Lakers, the offseason, tonight's lottery, and everything else, at Arash Markazi. Arash, it's good to catch up, my man. Thank you so much for doing it this morning with us.
I appreciate it. Thanks so much for having me.
You got it. Arash Markazi this morning here on the show from the LA Times. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut in your epic fail, plus plenty more trashes from you guys on the Twitter machine for a Trash Tuesday.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
I'm a fat lord.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
It's been a happy birthday to Mraz. Today here on the DA Show, we thank you all for taking part in the festivities. Our toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all. Geico.com. And golf's next major, the world's best, the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy. And Tiger shoots for back-to-back majors this weekend. His 16th overall, he's in search of the PGA Championship. This weekend, only on a CBS. CBS Spectacular, yeah! It has been quite fun for us here on the show to celebrate Mraz's birthday. We bought his favorite birthday cake ever, a Fudgy the Whale cake from Carvel Ice Cream. It has not one, not two, not three, but four New York Giants plastic rings inside, representing all four of their Super Bowl championships, his favorite team. We have brought in one of Mraz's favorite people in the world, perhaps his best friend ever, being Huge Freeze. We're all wearing the birthday cone hats and have blown up balloons all across the studio and really having an overall festive time. And we're doing this, of course, without Mraz being here. Mraz is on vacation this week, so we decided what better way to salute him, celebrate him, by doing all the things that he loves without him here.
And I want to scream.
And would we do this if he was here? Of course not.
They were nuts.
I want to scream.
And I want to scream. So we want to thank everybody for partaking in the celebration of Mraz's birthday today. I don't know if he's up yet. He has not responded to the tweets that we have sent out. But I would encourage you to follow on Instagram because I am posting a behind-the-scenes video of us laughing, cackling, and smashing all of the Fudge of the Whale cake without him. You can check that on my Instagram stories, at Damon Amendo. It's a Trash Tuesday, so let's get through some trashes. As Mikey tweets, I'm trashing parents that bring their toddler to a 2 to 4 hour commencement ceremony only to let her or him cry and scream on and ruin the entire ceremony for everyone sitting around them, taking little baby for a walk or outside. Hashtag get him out.
Stinky debris.
Get him out.
That's a tough graduation. That's a tough commencement. Baby's crying. Nobody needs that. Daniel tweets, I'm trashing you for your take on Odell, DA. I don't care if he misses all of the OTAs. They are voluntary for a reason. He's a veteran who knows how to be ready for the season. Come on, Damon, wake up.
You've been trashed.
Come on, Damon, wake up.
Yeah, here's the problem, is that Odell Beckham does not get the same assumption that he's always going to be ready for everything like Drew Brees or Tom Brady or Larry Fitzgerald or other guys. Odell Beckham has proven to be supremely immature a number of times over and over again, and a guy that is not consistently ready at all times for all games, for all moments. So I don't agree with that at all. If he was a guy that you knew for 16 weeks every single season, it was completely locked in every play, every game, every week, okay. You can't say that about Odell Beckham, and if you say that right now, it's just because you're a fanboy of him and you don't want to see the warts of him. He's a wonderfully talented player, but he's got plenty of flaws. Jason tweets, I'm trashing baseball analytics. Babe Ruth and Willie Mays didn't need exit velocity or launch angles to be great. But in 2019, math nerds have taken over MLB.
Taking out the trash.
Hashtag math trash. Mraz would love anything that trashes education, stats, factoids, information. So math trash, that's kind of appropriate on his birthday.
It's niche.
Jimmy tweets, DA, what do you think Mraz's knowledge of Hawaii really is? Like, I'll bet Sean thinks that Pearl Harbor was just a Ben Affleck movie, or that Hawaii is actually a state in the U.S. and doesn't even know it. I'm sure he has no idea how to even begin to spell tsunami. Hawaiian punch is probably it. Yeah, I would assume all of those things. I would assume that Mraz, well, I'll put it this way. Last time he went to Hawaii, this is actually the second time he's been there, which makes me feel awful about myself that Mraz has been there twice and I've been there zero times. He came back and said, it's amazing because you're actually in America. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, I mean, you don't even feel like you're in America. I'm like, you're in America. What do you mean? He's like, yeah, but I mean, it's not like real America. He's like, there was an Applebee's there. I said, oh my God, you're an idiot. Oh my God. You think just because it's a really far flight, they don't speak English? It's a freaking state. It's been a state for 70 years. You doofus.
Mraz is fat.
Joe tweets, so was Odell in a puffy shirt situation? I don't want to wear the puffy shirt. I don't want to wear a kilt. Yes. Essentially, yes. And then slammed me on Twitter for suggesting that. But then again, Odell's confidence is way too high.
Now, wait a minute.
Alex tweets, happy piggy day. I mean, birthday to Mraz. Next time, don't take a vacation before your big day. Again, happy piggy day, big guy. Wait a second, I meant birthday.
You're so trashy.
TJ tweets, huge friend, huge freeze. What a great friend came through for Mraz at his birthday. He got to eat cake, and we even got to hear a trash today. Today was a good day hearing Huge on the show. Hashtag happy B-Day, Mraz.
You freeze.
I agree. Dick Todd tweets, DA, I'm trashing all the people who ask me, are you a cab? It's plastered across the van.
Must be Trash Tuesday.
Get him out.
Dick Todd also sends a picture of said van that's yellow and black and says cab guys. Yes, everyone, I'm pretty sure that yellow and black van that says cab guys is a cab.
How about that?
Unless they're shipping wine across state borders, I think that's probably like cab, like taxi. Hemsky in Tucson tweets, how upset is Mraz going to be when he wakes up from his Corona Light stupor and sees the antics this morning? Backpedaling from Peter Schwartz mad or defending salt/freshwater mad? You guys are evil, and I love it.
Epic trash job.
You don't know where I am, and you'll never see me coming.
I think Mraz is going to be spitting mad. And the best part about this whole bit is Mraz has 5 days before he can come back. It's only Tuesday. He's going to be steaming on this all day today, all day Wednesday, all day Thursday, all day Friday. And then we'll return back over the weekend and will not be able to wait to tear into us until Monday morning. So we've got a full week of him to sit on this thing.
Donka Shane, D.A. Donka Shane.
Lewis in Palmdale tweets, is it only me or does Robbie look like the clown from Uncle Buck? Hashtag welcome back, buddy.
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
love that clown. I wish if I had a birthday party, the Uncle Buck clown would show up.
The drunk clown.
Oh, your mother Cabrini? You never touched this stuff?
He's a joke. He's a clown.
Hemsky mentions that's Pooter the clown. Pooter the clown from Uncle Buck.
Oh, Pooter the clown.
The Pooter. Brian tweets. Sorry, hang on. Myron tweets. Tell Mraz a very happy birthday, but I'm trashing him as he goes away on vacation. Come on, buddy.
Someone just got trashed.
Christopher tweets, I'm trashing the company that falsely claimed double the income I contracted them for, forcing me to pay double the taxes and the IRS for telling me there's nothing they can do. Snakes in the grass, I hope their sewer backs up in their bathtub.
Trashing is fun.
Dennis tweets, I waited for an hour with my wife near a bleeping Delta conveyor belt, and where's our luggage?
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
What? That's when you keep seeing a bag that kind of looks like yours, but you know it's not yours. Go around it every time you double check it. You're like, well, maybe that is. Maybe that. No. Oh, honey, I think this is it. No, that's the bag we checked last time. Oh, here comes our bag. No. Are you sure that's not our bag? Did you double check the bag? Did you see? Maybe you forget what the bag looks like. You're like, I just looked at this bag right before we left the house. I know what the bag looks like. No, man, double check that again. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Today, a very celebratory day for Mraz's birthday without him.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Today is a happy day. Today is a celebratory day because one of our close friends, one of the most important members of the DA show, is celebrating a birthday.
Mraz.
I'm a Barbie girl in the Barbie world.
It is so nice to be here on the day that Sean Mraz celebrates his birthday. And so because it's his birthday, because we care about, obviously, Mraz so much, we decided that today would be a big ol' birthday jamboree.
Yeah.
By golly, Miss Molly, I'm a fat lord.
I think I'm a lost cause.
And Bogues, what's the one birthday food that immediately comes to mind that Mraz would love?
There's really only one answer, and if you listen to this show, you should know it right away. It recently made an appearance for somebody else's birthday in our compound, and Sean made sure that only Sean got a piece, not anybody else on the show. And that, of course, is the legendary, the one and only, the uber-delicious Fudgy the Whale from Carvel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Ooh.
He loved the Fudgy the Whale. So we got Mraz a Fudgy the Whale birthday cake. We've got balloons. We've got birthday hats. And one of Mraz's favorite people have come in to celebrate and eat the cake with us.
Lisa Ramos is here again today?
No. Huge Freeze is in the building. Yes.
We got the world spinning right in our hands, baby, you and me. I can see Marco Belletti.
I just tweeted out a picture of how the studio looks, how festive it is. And we also have 4 New York Giants Super Bowl helmets for all 4 of their Super Bowls on the Fudge of the Whale cakes. This is really a very kind and thoughtful day that we have for Mraz celebrating his birthday as he is on vacation this week.
This is honestly the most stunned I have ever been on the show to a news.
Happy birthday to Mraz!
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
We love you, Mraz. We just love you.
I'm done!
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
This is the most stunned I've ever been on the show to a news. Yeah. Mraz smells like a news. Acts like one, too. I'm so stunned at a news.
Ha
Dennis weighs in. I want to trash this Philly airport. Imagine waiting on your baggage in a Delta-labeled conveyor belt and ended up at their office without you even knowing that your baggage got lost or not. Jimmy tweets, I'm trashing the rather rotund lady at the Mother's Day buffet Sunday who was trying to balance three plates at the same time like she was some kind of octopus. One of those plates contained near a whole tray of fried shrimp, leaving only two lonely shrimp in the tray. Hashtag Chubbo.
Chubbo.
You know, it is kind of amazing when you go to a buffet. It's because it's as though everybody needs to eat all of the buffet in one trip up there. And you're like, this is a buffet. They just keep filling it up. I understand the crab legs thing. Sometimes they run out of the king crab legs, so you do have to collect a lot there. But, like, you're trying to bring back three trays of pasta. Believe me, there's more rigatoni after you get back. There will be plenty of this. Believe me, there's going to be another thing of prime rib. I know it. You're bringing up five hamburgers. You don't need five hamburgers. Believe me, you can come back and get hamburgers. People just act like that's the last food they will ever see for the rest of their lives. I must stock up! Thanks to Connor Green, executive producer today, and for Mraz here on The DA Show. Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan running Cake Cam at WatchDA.com. Andrew Bogish on headlines. And the great huge Freeze in studio with us. It's awesome to see his smiling face once again. We'll see you tomorrow. The Mothership disconnects.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.